good morning once again. Today we are continuing our series called Journey. We're looking at part three today, and I want to preach on kind of this subject. We are created to be like Christ. On Easter Sunday, we launched this series, and we really talked about how we were planned for God's pleasure. That was believing. And then last Sunday, we talked about how we were formed for God's family, and that was belonging. And today, we're going to look at actually being created to be like Christ, and that's really about becoming. So we're going from believing to belonging to becoming like Christ. It was an awesome membership class we had last Sunday night, actually. One of the biggest we've had in a long time at our church. So it's exciting to see what God's doing among people who are just not just coming to sit in the seat, but they're coming to jump in and join the church family. So it's amazing to see how the Lord is working in hearts. Today we continue in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. So stand to your feet as we read these verses. Created to be like Christ. Let's stand if we can to read these verses. Paul says to the church at Ephesus in verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And here's the key part for today: until all we attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speak the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for our time together. I pray that your word would change and penetrate hearts today to where we'd grow more in love with you. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can have a seat. Who all likes change? Yeah. Is anybody here like, you like change? Can you like be really honest in church and say, hey, I like changing it up a little bit. I like change. Anybody here? One, there's two of us. Three, four, all right, we got a group, you know? So we some of us like change, like mixing it up, keeping it fresh, not kind of, but most of us, we don't like change. The thought right now, your heart is beating, right? Because you're just kind of faster and faster. You don't like it. I mean, you're the person, like, you would never change anything. You would just kind of keep it going, play it safe, kind of just do the thing. But some of us do like change. Some of us don't like change. But change is part of life. Have you ever been told to grow up? Hopefully not by your spouse. Hopefully we're like beyond that, all right? But we have sometimes get told we got to grow up. And here Paul is telling the church to grow up. And you and I as Christians are called to grow up. We're called to believe. We're called to belong to a church family. But we're also called to become something. We're called to move forward in our walk with God and not just stay where we were. So where you were yesterday is to be different from where you're going to go today. That's why we always say the phrase here at Living Hope, you're to love Jesus more and more each day. You're to become more like Christ every single day. You can't just say, well, I had a great month last month in a quiet time, so I'm going to ride that for a while until that wave dies out. No, you have to become more and more like Jesus every single day. You say, well, I don't really understand why I have to do that. Well, let's look at some scripture, and I want you to see what the Bible says about growing up and becoming more like Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4. Paul writes the church at Corinth and kind of gets on to them in love, kind of scolds them a little bit. Do you know what they were doing? They were fussing and they were fighting over their favorite preachers. They had their own little favorite pastor. And some said, well, I love Paul and I love Apollos and I love Cephas. And they were kind of fussing around each other about who their favorite pastor was, or maybe who their favorite worship pastor was, or what their favorite program of the church was, or what their own personal view was. They were fussing and fighting over all those things. And I know that we have no problems here because we're a perfect church, but this is their church at Corinth, all right? That's a joke. You can laugh. We have our problems. Because we're people. We're all sinners. And so we have to fight against those things. And here in 1 Corinthians 2, 3, and 4, the Bible says this, I've had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. Paul said, when I planted the church, you were young babies. When Paul would go into a city and he would plant that church, he didn't go look for other Christians to start a church because there were none. He went and he planted and he preached the gospel. People came to faith in Christ. They would be discipled. They'd be brought up in the church. And a church was planted. A church was birthed. He would select pastors and he would appoint those pastors to lead and to preach and to equip the people. And he had been gone for several years from the church at Corinth. And now he's writing this letter again. Though he had been gone for several years, he hears wind and he gets word. There's still a lot of immaturity in the church. And he says, I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready. When somebody becomes a Christian, the first thing they're not ready to jump into that night is the doctrine of eschatology. You know, when do you believe that Christ is going to return? Well, tell me your view of the millennial reign. Sometimes people are just trying to figure out, okay, I just got saved. What's next? Back off a little. You know, and there's a time and a place for those things. But when somebody becomes a Christian, they're just trying to figure everything out. Anybody here agree with that? Any new Christians in the crowd? So yeah, that's where I'm at. I know because you've emailed me. And you're saying, what's next? What do I do next? That's why we have tonight at 6 o'clock for the next 6 weeks to talk about the next steps as a Christian. What do? We have to grow up. We got to take our next steps. I mean, no one, you walked in and you didn't have your baby. And I know every baby is awesome and your child's like the awesome all-star child of life, right? But your child doesn't come home and, you know, meet you in the hallway and 3 months old saying, hey, I'm ready to eat. That doesn't happen. You know, if that does, call the paper, that'd be a great story. That's not going to happen. Your child has to learn how to breathe. And those moments when that child comes out and you're doing all that stuff, and then you get all that stuff done, and then you change that first diaper, which is not godly, and you get that baby in there and do those things. Your child is learning how to breathe. I know when I first saw my son Caden in the hospital, I just sat and watched him in that little bitty square thing that he slept in for a little bit. And I just watched his chest. I thought, man, that is incredible. What a miracle that is. He had to learn how to breathe. He just came out, but God put that in him. And then he had to learn how to take his next steps, which was eventful in our home. And then all of a sudden, I was gone to out on some trip somewhere. And then I get a call, and Jennifer's like, hey, by the way, your son jumped out of his crib and said, hi, Mom, how are you doing at 10 o'clock at night? And those moments will come, right? When they grow and they take their next steps, and all of a sudden, they're no longer those little babies in that square thing breathing up and down. They're taking their steps. And they grow up. In the same way, you and I as Christians have to, we're learning how to walk with God, but we have to continually grow. We have to learn how to grow up. And Paul says here, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. See, maturity and growth in Christ is not so much about your age or how long you've been a Christian, but what are you doing with what God's given you in your new life with Jesus? And he says here, the reason that you can't and you're not ready, the reason is because you're still controlled by your sinful nature. He says, you are jealous of one another and you're quarreling with each other. You're fighting with each other. Doesn't that prove you are still controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world? And he says, when one of you says, I'm a follower of Paul, and somebody else says, well, I follow Apollos, aren't you acting like people of the world? That's a pretty powerful statement. And Paul is telling the church, listen, you guys got to grow up. You got to move past things that really don't matter. And first of all, Paul didn't die for you, and Apollos didn't die for you, and your pastors don't die for you, but Jesus died for you. And I speak on behalf of our leadership, of our church, and our pastors. We don't want you to look to us as we're not anything special. We're just regular sinners whom God saved by his grace, and we're striving to follow Jesus. And I didn't die for you, and James didn't die for you, but Jesus died for you. He's the one you follow. He's the one you love. He is the one, because you and I are sinners, and we're not perfect, but Jesus is perfect. And we're striving to love Jesus. We're striving to lead you to Jesus, but we're not Jesus. And oftentimes, people will put pastors up on pedestals. They'll think they'll be perfect. They're going to say, I'll follow him, and I'll follow that guy. And listen, we love you. And we hope you love us, but we're not Jesus. You're like, yeah, man, we figured that out a long time ago. I get that. But we want you to see, this is the problem with the church at Corinth, though, is they were putting pastors, they were elevating them and loving them so much. And Paul said, no, that's immature. That's immature. You are not to really fuss and fight over who is your favorite pastor, who's your favorite preacher, who's your favorite worship guy, who is your favorite program in the church, what are your favorite things. No, that you can't be fussing and fighting over those things. That's immaturity at its highest. He says you got to grow up. Hebrews 5, 11 through 14, this is what the writer of Hebrews says. It says, there is much more that we would like to say about this, but it's difficult to explain. He says, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Those are not very seeker-sensitive verses to preach, but that's the truth of the matter of the Hebrew people and what they were writing to. You have been believers so long now that you ought to be teaching. He's kind of getting on to them in love and says, listen, you should be the one teaching now. But you are still immature in your faith. You're not growing up. And as a result, you're still having to be taught. You have been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need somebody to teach you the basic things about God's word. He says, you are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. He says, you got to grow up. You have to grow up. I don't know about you. Milk's okay. I like it chocolate. You know, I'm not really a big, huge milk guy. It's all right every once in a while. I like the meat. Is that an amen? I keep hearing that. I really am going to take that as an amen soon. Yeah. And so we like meat. I know I got a grill 2 weeks ago. It was awesome. I haven't had a grill in a year and a half. It's been great. I was in Atlanta one night speaking. My wife's holding a Bible study at our house. She calls me. I'm at the hotel in Atlanta. And she goes, hey, I heard a noise. Okay, you know, I don't know what to do with that. And there's a room full of women in our house. And it's like, maybe you should peek out the back window. Is that safe? I don't know, maybe. So just go to the window and see what's going on. She goes, well, your grill's in like two pieces. So I'm like, that's awesome. Thanks for the call. You know, and the windstorm, this is the windiest place in the world, right? And so my grill is like torn up. So I haven't had a grill in a year and a half. You didn't need to really know that, did you? But I finally got a grill 2 weeks ago, and man, I've like grilled out three times. It's been amazing, you know? And I know if you're a vegetarian, you're going to email me, but I'm kind of spacing it out. So I had it, and man, there's just nothing like a good piece of steak. You know what I'm saying? Any steak people out there? Yeah, that's right. We're in it together. We're not, but yeah, I know. But I had broccoli, lots of broccoli. So that was the good thing, right? And so I love steak. I couldn't imagine saying, hey, here's a big, awesome piece of steak right here, but here's a glass of milk. Who wants the milk? You know what I'm saying? Who wants the milk? I want the piece of meat. I want the steak. Anybody hear what I'm saying this morning? I want the steak. I don't want the milk. You say, well, you know, I'll take the milk. You can have the milk. I'll take the steak. And the Bible says here clearly, grow up. And he says, when you're a Christian, this is like milk. You're trying to learn how to digest all of this. And you're learning how to read the Bible and learning how to pray. But as you grow older in your walk with God, then you have to go for the meat. You can't just kind of flop the Bible open and saying, okay, here's my quiet time today. No, you gotta dig in the Word of God. You gotta grow up in your faith and mature in your faith. And the Bible says we need to grow up. Romans 8, 29, this is where we get, you were created to be like Christ. The Bible says, for God knew his people in advance and he chose them. He chose them. People, the word predestination scares me. It shouldn't. It's in the Bible. And it says, you were created to be like Christ. Your translation may say, you were predestined to be more like Jesus. And that's what the Bible says. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. The Bible says, you and I were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. People know my son. There was a mall called the Wolf Chase Mall in Memphis, Tennessee. And when he was born, I took him out one day. My wife trusted me enough to let him have, you know, for an afternoon. And so I went out to the mall one day and was riding with him. And people would just kind of stop and stare, you know, like, man, what's on me? You know what I'm saying? Like, why are you looking at me? Kind of freaking me out. Are you plotting something? I mean, what's going on? It's just the stroller. And people would like, they couldn't get over how much he looked like me. They're like, man, you marked him well. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is your kid. There's no denying. I'm like, is there a question? You know what I'm saying? What's going on? You know, and he was just looked just like me. He's got everything. He's even got my nostrils. You know what I'm saying? Like every part of me, Caden has got. He's like my little mini me. He's like my little clone. And they always look at him and say, man, like father, like son. Let's transfer that spiritually. Like father, like son. Like father, like daughter. How are you in likeness to Jesus? Do you look like Jesus? Do you act like Jesus? Do you talk like Jesus? Do you walk like Jesus? How are you compared to the image of Christ? Are you growing up more and more to be like Jesus? You were predestined. You were predetermined to be more conformed to Jesus. Change, it happens. You and I are called to be more and more like Christ. Lady's 43 years old. She has heart surgery. She had a heart attack. She's on the table. She has a dream. Her dream, she talks to God and says, God, please, I would love to have 40. I would love to have more years. I would love to do this. And she goes, I'll change. I'll change. I'll do whatever. God says, okay, you got 43 more years. She's so excited. She's so excited. So she gets off God spares her life. She gets off the surgery table. She goes. The first thing she does is she goes to the plastic surgeon. And man, she gets all these things changed. You know what I'm saying? Like tummy tuck, any kind of tuck on you know, Botox and all that stuff that, you know, whatever those things are called. She gets all that stuff done. She leaves the cosmetic surgeon. Then she goes and she gets her hair done. She gets a completely different look. She goes to the tanning bed, looks completely different, does all this stuff, walks out from the tanning salon, gets hit by a Mack truck. Stands before God. God, you told me I had 43 more years. The Lord looks at her and squints and said, sorry, I didn't recognize you. You know what I'm saying? We get so busy and changing. You know what we do? We're so focused on the outer man, we forget the inner man. See, the Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7 that God does not see as man sees, for God looks out on the inside, whereas man looks on the outside. God sees the heart. Paul said it this way to the church at Corinth. He said, the outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed. The outer man is decaying, but the inner man is being renewed. I'm not saying you shouldn't work out and take care of your body and eat well and eat less steak and eat more broccoli. I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things. But what I am saying is that's not going to spare you anything at the end of the day. You should realize your body is the temple. Prolong your days as much as God lets you to be healthy and be fit and to do active in ministry. But at the end of the day, Moses said in Psalm 90, your days are numbered. Moses prayed, Lord, teach us to number our days. Teach us to make most of our days. So while we should exercise, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says, while bodily exercise is profitable, it's not as profitable as the spiritual disciplines. Praying and fasting and spending time with God and witnessing and evangelism and walking with the Lord and being a walking in uprightness and integrity. Those are the things that we have to be worried about and concerned about. So we're called to grow up and change not really so much the outside as it is the inside. Now, I want to give you three principles about change and about spiritual growth. Number one, spiritual growth is incarnational. Write that down. Spiritual growth is incarnational. You say, man, what does that word mean? Here's what it means. Here's the frustration from most Christians I hear as a pastor. Pastor, I can't be more like Jesus. I'm struggling. I go to church every Sunday. I listen to the sermons. I sing the songs. I write my tithe check. I even work in the nursery. You know what I'm saying? Those kind of things. But I don't know. What's missing? Because you're trying to do it. You're trying to do it. You're trying to be more like Jesus, and you can't. You can't be Jesus. There's only one perfect, and it's him, and they killed him. So you're striving for perfection. You can't be perfect. Matthew 5:48, there's only one perfect. That's God's standard, is perfection. Jesus is perfect. You are not perfect. I am not perfect. Your standard is already broken. You can't do it. You can't. Well, then how come I can be more like Jesus? Because it's not about imitation. Here's what it's about. It's about inhabitation. Write that down. It's not about imitation. It's about inhabitation. It's about letting Jesus work in you and through you to become more like him. See, when you're trying to do it, when you're trying to imitate him, when you're trying to do all these things on your own power, it's not going to work. There's a disconnect. But when there's not imitation, there's inhabitation. When Christ, the Holy Spirit, lives inside of you, then that's where the change comes. When you don't want to forgive somebody, the Holy Spirit of God works in your heart and changes you, and you're able to then forgive. When your flesh says, I don't want to forgive, the Holy Spirit of God overrides and says, yes, you will forgive. That's the Holy Spirit working in you. Colossians 1:29, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not about your imitation today. It's about your inhabitation. It's Christ through the Holy Spirit of God working and living inside of you to change you. It's not about you trying to do it, because you and I can't. It's when the Holy Spirit takes over and does it. 1 Corinthians 3:16, the Bible says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God and the Spirit of God lives in you? The Spirit of God lives in you. You've got to get that today. That's where the disconnect is happening among a lot of people. The Holy Spirit. I've said it time and time again. We don't need to kind of freak out when we hear the Holy Spirit. He's part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's Paul what says to the church at Corinth, it's the Holy Spirit inside of you. God is living in you. The same God that made what you saw. Everybody's buzzing on, you know, about the Northern Lights. Did y'all see the Northern Lights? Me neither. You know, everybody's working. Oh. The same God that made the Northern Lights. The same God that created the stars in the sky, the same God who made all of this stuff, is the same God that lives inside of you. Do you know that? That's the same God. We're like, oh man, can you believe that God who parted the Red Sea? He lives in you. In you. We don't think that though. We're like, oh, that's that God. He's the same one. Where's the power and where's the faith today? It's the Holy Spirit living in you. You can do anything if God calls it. It's Christ, the hope of glory, living in you. Yes, you can't do it and I can't do it, but he can. You're created to become like Christ. You're called to believe. You're called to belong, but you're also called to become. Every single day, more and more like Jesus. You can't do it on your own, but Christ through you can. Not imitating him, but him inhabiting you. And as he inhabits you and takes over, then you can do what he's called you to do. Growth is spiritual. It's also practical. Philippians 2:12-13 says this. Paul said, dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it is even more important. Work hard. He says, work out your own salvation. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear. Here it is, verse 13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do you see it? God says, as you work out, he's going to work in. As you're working out, he's going to work in. You ever go to the gym? I can tell that most of us don't. If you do, you'll look like me. We go to the gym. Yeah. You don't go to the gym to create muscle. You can drink muscle milk from UDF all you want to, but you're not creating muscle. Newsflash. You go to work out what you've already been given. You go to work it out and to strengthen it and to grow it against resistance. But you don't go to the gym to create muscle. You go to work out what you've already been given. In the same way, you and I have been given the greatest gift of all, salvation through Christ. And as you're walking with Jesus, as you're growing to be more like Jesus, you work that out. And as you work that out, then Holy Spirit works it in you. See, it's all about inhabitation. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory, living inside of you through the Holy Spirit. You can't do this. You will give up and I will give up. But he who began a good work in you will do what? He will complete it until that day of Jesus Christ. Listen, he is faithful. He is the one who started it, and he is the one who will end it. Dr. Rogers said this, a faith that fizzles had a flaw from the first. A faith that fizzles had a flaw from the first. If Jesus Christ really saved you, then you are his forever. And he will make sure that you arrive at home with him. It's not about your works. It's about what he's done on the cross and his work. Growth is incarnational. You're working out what God is working in you. Ravenhill said this. He said, I find it humbling, inspiring, and challenging to recognize that the greatest saints who ever lived did not have a bigger Bible than I have. He said, they just knew it better. They just knew it better. Do you know this? Do you know it? I could care less if it's on your iPad or your iPhone or your Droid or whatever they're going to make up in 2 days. You know what I'm saying? I don't care what it is. But it's the Word of God. Whether it's there here physically or if it's on an iPhone or a tablet or an iPad, it's the Word of God. But do you know it? Is it inhabiting you? Do you have a translation that you love to read that you can just dwell on it? Don't get caught up in some of that, well, is it the NIV or the NAS? It's the Word of God. Get in it and study it and memorize it. And most importantly, obey it. Obey it. Grow in your walk with the Lord. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, I would rather teach one man to pray than train 10 men to preach. This is the prince of preachers. This is the man who is regarded as one of the greatest preachers this earth has ever known since the Apostle Paul. And he said, I would rather train one man to pray than 10 men to preach. How are your spiritual disciplines to grow today? Are you in the Word? Are you praying? Number two, growth is intentional. Growth is incarnational, but growth is intentional. You have to make it happen. My favorite verse in the Old Testament, one of them is Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, where the Bible says this, but Daniel was determined. The Greek actually means he purposed in his heart. He was intentional about growth. It says that Daniel purposed in his heart. He was determined not to defile himself by eating the food and wine given to them by the king. He asked the chief of staff for permission not to eat those unacceptable foods. He was being pressured into bow down to King Nebuchadnezzar and his dietary laws. He said, no, I know what God's called me to do, and I'm going to be determined. I'm going to go against the wall on this one because God is with me. Listen, God plus one is a majority. Noah got in the boat, and he was in the minority. He got off the boat, and he was in the majority. God's with you. And when he calls you to do something, you do it. And growth is not just a choice. It has to be intentional. It has to be something that's deep down inside of you that you have fortitude and the Holy Spirit does in your life. Listen, you are as close to God as you want to be. You are as close to God as you want to be. You cannot blame your mother. You cannot blame your father. You cannot blame your husband or your wife or your brother or sister or your aunt or your uncle, your cousins or your friend. You are as close to God as you want to be. How much do you want him today? It's your choice. It's your choice. Do you know you are the sum total of your habits? We all have habits, don't we? What are some of your habits? Anybody bite your nails? Can I do that? You might do this a lot. You gonna do that? My old seminary in Memphis was here this past week, and they flew up from Memphis and did some videotaping, and they take me doing the story of Living Hope and what God's doing here and all that kind of stuff. And the whole time they were videotaping, I was doing this, doing that. And the sound guy was like, Pastor, can you please stop doing that on the table, you know? That was just my habit, just doing that right there. He's like, just put it down, you know? We have habits. What kind of habits do you have? We have some crazy weird habits, right? But how about spiritual habits? What kind of spiritual habits do you have? It's not so much about a choice. You got to make time. Jesus in Mark 1:35, the Bible says he got up, he got away from the crowds, and he spent time with the Father. You got to make it happen. Somebody once said, plan your calendar or somebody else will. You got to make it happen. You got to make intentional time for Jesus every single day. You can't just say, well, today is going to be one of those days. No, you got to get up earlier. Where is the discipline? Where is the passion? Where is the drive? We get up and we go stand in line at 4 o'clock in the morning for the new iPhone, right? We do all those things. I mean, let's not even talk about Black Friday after Thanksgiving. You know what I'm saying? Let's not even go there. All the things we do at 4 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 3 a.m. Now we're just doing it on Thanksgiving night. We're going to bypass the whole evening and eat your supper because afterwards you're going to Kmart standing in line. No, not Kmart. Do something Best Buy. That's a little better. We do all that stuff. You know, the truth is we do what we want to do. We make time for what we want to make time for. And then we show up on Sunday and say, oh, God bless, I didn't have time this week. No, we all have the same amount of time. It's what we choose to do with our time. Growth is intentional. You got to make it happen. You got to develop. They say it takes 6 weeks to develop a habit. 3 weeks, you're familiar with it. By 6 weeks, it's a habit. So there's hope for you, maybe, right? Habits take 6 weeks. Make it a habit. Make it a habit. Do this. I don't have time to walk with the Lord. Get up a little early every morning and spend time with him. Do that for 6 weeks. Or maybe you're a night person. Maybe you like to go to bed and do your quiet time then. I usually fall asleep. I can't do it. You know what I'm saying? Get up in the morning, spend time with him. It's better that way. Before you do anything else, before you check Fox News, look at the stock market, look at all the stuff on ESPN, all the different things, or whatever ladies look at in the morning when y'all get up and do the thing, you know, just before, first thing, just home and garden, whatever, you know, you just get in the Word. Make it a habit. Be intentional about your growth. Spend time with God in prayer and his Word. Not everybody followed Jesus. If you read the New Testament, it's very clear, not everybody followed Jesus. He started off with all these people, and he would say things. And every time he made these crazy statements like, you will drink my blood, eat my flesh, that would kind of weird me out too. You know what I'm saying? Those are kind of some strange things Jesus talked about. But he's talking about following after him. And he would say things like, take up your cross and die. It's amazing. All the masses dwindled. Jesus would not be on the preaching circuit today in America. He wouldn't be the guy, oh man, let me see how fast your church is growing. Can you come speak to us? He wouldn't be that person. I really don't think Jesus would be welcome in most of our churches today. And that's an indictment. That's an indictment on the church today. We have lost so much of our focus and mission. We're putting together our nice little clubs and our nice little buildings, but we're forgetting the mission of what Christ came for. Growth is incarnational. It's Christ, the Holy Spirit, the hope of glory living in and through you. Growth is intentional. Number three, and I'll close here, growth is incremental. We want everything yesterday. Luke 2, 52, Jesus grew in wisdom and stature. He grew up. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. So all of us who have heard that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Do you see it there? More and more every single day. You don't grow instantly, do you? I mean, take all the vitamins you want. Drink all the milk you want. But you don't grow instantly physically in the same way. You don't grow instantly spiritually. And the frustration comes when we're like, well, by this time next week, I should be the greatest soul winner besides Billy Graham. That's an awesome endeavor, but it's not likely. And two, you're not called to be Billy Graham. There's only one, and that's it. Be yourself because everybody else is taken. Be yourself, everyone else is taken. Psalm 139, God made you the way he made you. Stop trying to be somebody else. Be like Christ, him through you. Growth is incremental. No program, no pill, and no prayer will make this instant for you. It's not going to happen. It's got to be intentional. Spiritual growth is the same as physical. You don't get credit for runners left on base. I love baseball. A lot of principles in baseball transfer spiritually, in my opinion. You don't get credit for runners left on base. You got to bring them home. But you got to keep moving around the horn. You got to tag first, round second, cross third, and slide in. Or you can just barge in, which is more fun. But you got to make it home. You got to grow up. You can't stay as a baby, immature. You got to own your faith and spend time in the Word. This is how you and I grow in our walk with God, to put other people more important than ourselves. We're going to watch this video as we close here the service. And I want you to see what happens when you put other people first and you care about other people because you're growing and you're maturing. This 7-year-old boy had brain cancer. They said he wouldn't live, and he did. And I know it's an Ohio State world here, but this is the Nebraska football team. So try to watch this with kingdom eyes, okay? This Nebraska football team adopts this 7-year-old boy and just does something amazing, and has this incredible servant attitude. They call him right before his dad. He's already asleep in bed. And they said, bring him to our spring game. We got something planned for him. And check this out, this is what happened. You see what happens? You see what happens when everybody puts aside their differences and their personal ambitions and humbles themselves and grows as a team? Everybody wins. It's about the kingdom. That little boy wasn't supposed to be alive. And they adopted him and gave him that incredible moment that he'll never forget. His dad said, my prayer is he wouldn't run the right way. That's all I was thinking for. Just go the right way. It's not about us, is it? We got to grow up. We got to grow up. There's things that aren't worth fussing over. There's things that don't mean anything. It's about kingdom. It's about kingdom. It's not our own personal, private things that we love and our preferences. It's about the kingdom. Last night, interestingly, as I closed down and I logged on to check something, the first line on a Facebook comment somebody said, and I kid you not, you don't know her, she didn't even live in the state, and this person said, here's to never growing up. And I thought, wow, really, Lord? I mean, that's the first thing I see when I log on is somebody saying, here's to never growing up. It seems to be the mentality today, a lot of people. Here's to never growing up. God's called you to grow up. He's called you to forsake being an infant, living on milk, and transferring that to meat, to owning your own faith and realizing it's not about you. You're called to believe, you're called to belong, and you're called to become more and more like Jesus every single day. So as we close, I ask you this question. How are you in your walk with Jesus? I would probably say most of us in this room are Christians. I would not say that all of us are Christians. I think it's a very high ratio that maybe you're here today and you're not a Christian. Maybe you come to church and you think that because you come to church, you're a Christian. And though we love you and we're glad you're here, I want to tell you based upon the Word of God, going to church does not save you. Christ saves you. And so today, maybe you need to transfer your church thing for Christ and give your life to Jesus and not rest in church and being a good person and coming and hanging out sometimes, kind of whenever it's a good time for you, but to make it intentional, to take that first step and to say, Lord, I cannot do this on my own. I can't run this race by myself. I can't live this life on my own. I've got to have you. And the greatest day that can be for you is the day when you say yes to Jesus. The day when you stop running, you bow down, say, Lord, I can't do this. You kind of throw your hands up and say, I'm done. I'm done. I've heard football players talk about how they're in the locker. Maybe it was Reggie White. Reggie White saying when he was playing for one of those football teams, he said, I was in the locker room. And he said, I just dropped to my knees there in the locker room. He said, I give up. I give up. I'm done. Today, spiritually, that's what you need to do. You need to give up and say, I'm done. I can't do this on my own anymore. And trade in your religion for a relationship with Christ. Maybe you're here today and you're a Christian, but your growth is horrible. It's horrible. There's no discipline. There's no godly habits happening in your life. Your time with God is whenever it happens. That's not going to fly. I love you too much not to say that. It's not going to fly. you will see things in your life, they'll start to fall apart. You're just going to try to, you know, like one of those energy drinks, just, you know, surge it up all you can just for a few moments, and maybe that's going to last for a long time. That's not going to work. You got to spend time with God every day. You got to pray every day. You got to trust him. You got to trust him when you don't feel like it. You got to love him when it's hard. You got to spend time when you don't have but 3 minutes, but you give him that 3 minutes. You make time. You do it. You love him. Love him with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Love him. Trust him. Obey him. Walk with him. Growth is not instant. It's incremental. It's got to be intentional. It's got to be incarnational. You got to trust him. I don't know where you're at today, but you got a little white card when you walked in. There's right here in your bulletin. Most of you know this. You know the drill. We're asking you, though, to fill this out. Every Sunday is a new day. And I know that most of you fill them out every week. You say, should I keep filling them out? Yes, because we care. We want to see what God's doing in your life spiritually to the best of our ability. Whether you're a member, whether you're a guest, would you fill this out? Would you let us know how you're doing, how we can pray for you, how we can help you to the best we can? We're trying to get to everybody as fast as we can. We are. But we want to know how you're doing, how we can pray for you, how we can help. Maybe you got a question about baptism. We're going to be baptizing here in a few weeks, Lord willing. Several people taking their next steps to being baptized. Maybe today you're here and you're a Christian, but you've never taken that next step of growth and being baptized. Maybe you want to be a part of this church and join through membership. Maybe you say, Pastor, I'm confused. I'm lost. I don't know who God is. I need to talk. I don't know where you're at, but God does. So fill this out. In just a moment, there's going to be an offering plate come your way. Just drop it off in there with your offering. And we would appreciate that. Let's pray. We're going to sing. Father, work in our hearts as we sing to you. Teach us what it means to grow and be more like you. Show us from your word. Teach us your ways. In Jesus' name.